Now, why is faith so indispensable to the Christian? So that apart from it, he cannot please God. We are going to state four reasons. First, because faith predicates absolute confidence in God's person. Faith believes God. Second, faith reposes implicit trust in His Word. Third, faith counts on the complete manifestation of His power. And fourth, a principle on which a Christian lives his life is that of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. First, then, it predicates or affirms absolute confidence in God's person. Acts 27 and 25. Put down that scripture and look at it at your leisure. Therefore, Paul makes a statement. You know, there are many creeds in Christendom. The Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed. But here in Acts 27 and verse 25 is Paul's creed, the best of them all. And what is that creed? Here it is. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now what better creed can you have than that? I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Notice Paul did not say, I believe there is a God. James says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. There are no atheistical demons. They got no sense. It's only boobs of humanity that shut their eyes in the face of a noonday sun and say, sun, I see no sun. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. No God for me. So Paul did not say, I believe there is a God. All you require to believe there is a God is a pair of eyes and some gray matter in your skull. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth forth knowledge. There is no place on earth where the voice of nature is not heard. Creation demands a creator. And the creator is always greater than his creation. Just as an artist is greater than his art. The builder is greater than the building he erects. The inventor is greater than the machine that he invents. So God is greater than His creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And happy is that young person who begins his life with God. Then also be well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The atheist looks around, sees all the marvelous intricate harmony, symmetry of this present nature, and says, it all came into being by the fortuitous concourse of atoms. You might just as well try to explain the existence of an unabridged dictionary by saying that once upon a time there was a great explosion in a type manufacturing factory, and all the type that came down formed itself into this Webster's unabridged dictionary. Gallup of Gallup poll fame said, to explain creation without a creator is a statistical monstrosity. It simply can't be done. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. There is no excuse whatever either for atheism or idolatry with the evidence of God in nature. The spacious firmament on high, with all the blue ethereal sky, a spangled heavens, a shining frame, their great original proclaim. The unwearied sun from day to day doth his creator's power display and publishes to every land the work of an almighty hand. Soon as the evening shades prevail, the moon takes up the wondrous tale, and nightly to the listening earth repeats the story of her birth, while all the stars that round her burn, and all the planets in their turn confirm the tidings as they roll and spread the truth from pole to pole. What though in solemn silence all move round this dark terrestrial ball? What though no real voice or sound amid their radiant orbs be found? In reason's ear they all rejoice, and utter forth a glorious voice, forever singing as they shine, the hand that made us is divine. Someone, I don't know who it was, added a fourth verse to that lovely poem. Almighty God, the sun shall fail, the moon forget her nightly tale, the deepest silence hush on high, that radiant chorus of the sky, but fixed for everlasting years, unmoved amid the wreck of spheres, thy word shall shine in cloudless day, when heaven and earth have passed away. That's poetry. Belief in the existence of God does not save, as we mentioned before. All you require is common sense. And common sense is that sense apart from which all other sense is nonsense. Now, what does this creed mean? I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let me put a question to you. Do you believe God? God has said something. Do you believe what God has said? I believe God. Do you believe God about yourself? Have you ever honestly accepted God's estimation of you as being true? Now that's the hardest thing for a man to do. To accept God's estimation of me as being true. And if I do that, to what conclusion will I come? That I'm nothing but a poor, guilty, lost sinner. Helpless and hopeless and deserving only of eternal banishment from the presence of that holy God against whom I have sinned in thought and word and deed. I believe God about myself. That apart from the precious, redeeming blood of Christ, I'm a helpless, hopeless sinner. Have you got that far yet? You'll never get anywhere else with God until you've accepted that as being absolutely true. I believe God concerning myself. Second, I believe God concerning Christ. That God so loved the world that he sent from heaven's glory his only begotten Son. And he, in his infinite grace, clothed himself with humanity. He, who was God, became man. Uniting in himself absolute deity and perfect humanity. And in an infinite love and grace to save me from my sins, went to the cross. Allowed God to put all my sins on him. In order that he might receive at the hands of the holy God all the judgment due to me. And on that cross, alone forsaken, rejected by man and forsaken of his God, in that lone and dark and mysterious hour, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yea, once Emmanuel's orphan cry, the universe hath shaken. It went up single, echoless, my God, I am forsaken. It came forth from his holy lips amidst the lost creation that of the lost no soul need use those words of desolation. He was forsaken that I might be received into God's eternal embrace. He came out of the light into the darkness that I might go out of the darkness into the light. He came from the place of nearness to the place of distance, that I might go out of the place of distance into the place of nearness. He came out of life into death, that I might go out of death into life. I believe God about Christ, that the Lord Jesus on that cross accomplished all the work needed for my salvation. Have you got that far? Good, that's splendid. Now then, what's the next step? I believe God concerning salvation. That all the work needed for my salvation has been done by another. All my good works and prayers and tears and good resolves are utterly in vain to merit God's favor. Christ has accomplished all that work. And because Christ has accomplished all the work needed for my salvation, I now receive him by faith as my own personal Savior. That's faith. Faith. Knowledge. Assent. Trust. These three. I believe God about myself. Now second, faith is indispensable because it reposes implicit trust in his word. Faith gives God the credit for speaking the truth. How would you like to overhear a conversation about yourself? And eavesdroppers, as you know, never hear any good of themselves. Someone is talking about you, and your name is Bill Smith. One is saying, what do you think of Bill Smith? Well, the other one replies, he's not a bad sort of a fellow. Good husband to his wife, as far as I can understand. Good father to his children. Good workman. But I wouldn't trust him. But I wouldn't trust him. Won't that give you a thrill of joy? Why, don't you feel like patting yourself on the back? Why, here's a man that wouldn't trust you. What's the use of saying, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ his Son, and all the rest of it, if at the end you say, but I wouldn't trust him? There are thousands of ecclesiastical atheists who deny by their lives what they profess with their lips. On Sunday, I believe in God the Father. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they live as though no such being as God existed. They deny by their lives what they profess with their lips. Unbelief charges God with lying. Way to make that out. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Would you like to call God a liar? Thousands of people are doing that. They say, no one can know whether or not he's saved until after he dies. What's that doing? That's making God a liar. He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son hath not the life. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I don't believe it. You're a liar. That's what people are saying in effect. When they deny that a person can know beyond any peradventure and doubt that he is the possessor of eternal life. Faith is a condition attached to salvation. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now here's a question. Can a girl who is blind and has no arms receive a gift? Now think that one through. Can a girl who is born blind, has no arms, can she receive a gift? Well, let's see. Let's buy her a nice bouquet of roses. And we come to the room in which this girl is sitting, and we say, Elsie, we brought you a lovely bouquet of roses. We're putting them right on the table now. And Elsie says, thank you very much. Has she seen the roses? No. Has she touched the roses? Has she received those roses? How? How? By faith. She's received them in her heart. That's how you get saved. I've never seen Christ. I didn't see him die on the cross. I didn't see him rise again from the dead. I didn't see him ascend to the right hand of the majesty on high. All this happened years and years before I was born. But God tells me it is so. And faith says, amen to what God says. Boy came to his father and said, Father, what is a promissory note? His father wrinkled his brow and said, well, my boy, the word promissory is made up of two words, promise and sorry. A man makes a promise, signs on the dotted line, and spends the rest of his life being sorry he ever made that promise. And whatever you do, my boy, never, under any consideration, sign a promissory note, because if you make that promise, you'll be very sorry. But God is never sorry when he makes a promise. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is it a son of a man that he should repent or change his mind. God hath said, shall he not do it? He hath spoken, shall he not bring it to pass? God's promises are as good as ready cash any day. In the land of Egypt, on the night of the Passover, the children of Israel were told to take a lamb, kill that lamb, catch its blood in a basin. By means of a bunch of hyssop, a common weed, using that as a brush, they were to sprinkle that blood on the lintel and the two side posts of the door of their houses. And God said, when I pass through the land of Egypt in judgment, the death of the firstborn, when I see that blood on the outside of the door, I will pass over you. Now then, let's visit two houses in the land of Egypt. First, the house occupied by Mr. Issachar. We knock at the door. Before we enter that door, we notice the blood has been sprinkled on the lintel and the two side posts. But when we enter that door, they're all standing around looking like accidents waiting to happen. They're all weeping. What's the matter, Mr. Issachar? Haven't you heard? God is going to pass through the land of Egypt in judgment, and the firstborn are going to die, and there's our little Izzy. Oh, I hate to think that maybe tomorrow morning he'll be dead. But didn't I see the blood on the outside of your door as I came in? Yes, but you know, you can't be sure. You can't be sure. And they sniff in at their handkerchiefs. It should feel like putting on your rubbers and putting up an umbrella. Well, we go out and we come to the house of Mr. Levi. There's Mr. and Mrs. Levi and all the little Levis. There they are, standing around the table, giving that roast lamb a decent burial. And they're all singing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. What makes you so happy, Mr. Levi? Haven't you heard the good news? God is going to come through the land of Egypt in judgment against sin, the death of the firstborn of Egypt. But we're going to be safe. There's my firstborn Judah. There he is. Safe. Just as safe as though the hour was past. Ah, but Mr. Levi, I just come from the house of Mr. Issachar. He has the blood on his door too. And he's not so sure as you are that God is going to pass over his firstborn. Oh, but says Mr. Levi, we not only have the blood on the outside of that door, but we have the word of God to assure us, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now then, use your brains. Which of those two houses was the most safe that night? Issachar? Or Levi? What do you think? Wrong. They were both as safe as each other. They were both as safe as each other. What made them safe? Did God say, when I see you're very happy, I'll pass over you? No. When I see you're very sad, I will pass over you? No. When I see the blood, the people in that house could not see the blood. That blood on the outside of the door was for the eye of God alone. I've never seen the blood of Christ. Jesus shed that blood for me 1900 years ago. But God sees the value and the virtue of that blood. And when he sees that I, a poor lost sinner, and trusting only in what Christ did for me on that cross, and resting in his finished work, I will pass over you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So cheer up, folks. But more, faith counts on the complete manifestation of God's power. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees. And looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it shall be done. A little girl had opened her money box, and she was counting her possessions. She had 3/4 and 2 dimes, and she was counting it. 1/4, 50 cents, 75 cents, 2 dimes, $1. Oh, no, said someone. You've only got 95 cents. Oh, but she said, Daddy promised to give me a nickel when he came home tonight. So she counted that nickel as though it was hers already. What was that? That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And remember, faith is not credulity. Faith rests on good, solid, substantial, incontrovertible facts. Therefore, faith is the principle on which the Christian must live his life on earth. Colossians 2:6 is going to be my text. That's a jolly good text too. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now what does this mean? Just this. In the same way that you commenced the Christian life, Continue your Christian life. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Go on for Him. Live for Him. The Christian life is simplicity itself. It begins with faith, goes on by faith, concludes by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. While we look not at the things which are seen. Did you ever see things which are not seen? Did you ever see the invisible? You'll never amount to much in the Christian life until you learn to see the invisible. What do you mean? Well, Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 5, or 4 rather, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, evanescent, transient, passing away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Did you ever see the air? I mean, outside of Pittsburgh. Long ago. No, you don't see the air. Yet we live. We live on the invisible. Did you ever see electricity? You never did. You can see the effects of electricity, but you can't see electricity. Did you ever see life? You can't see life. You can see the evidence of life, but you can't see life. Ever see love? Ever see a radio wave? No. These are invisible things, but they're nonetheless real because they're invisible. God is invisible, but is nonetheless real. Christ is invisible to us now, whom having not seen we love, but is nonetheless real. The Holy Spirit of God is invisible, yet He dwells within the body of every true believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how did you commence the Christian life? I'm talking now to Christians. You say, I commence the Christian life by looking to the Lord Jesus. Good. That's how I commence the Christian life too. Now then, how do you continue the Christian life? By keep on looking to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. You youngsters, look to your parents for your support. 3 meals a day and a snack in between meals. Little pocket money now and then. As though you'd earned it. Yes. Think of it. My money, please. My money, please. Yes. You look to your parents, and that's quite right. Till you come to a certain age, then you're on your own. Then you discover when you go to sit down to a meal, $3.75, and a tip for the waiter. Ever tip your mother? One boy once wrote, what mother owes Jim? He had a long bill. For running 4 errands at 10 cents apiece, 40 cents. Sweeping out the cellar, so much, 25 cents. And a long bill, and the total was $1.25. And he pushed the bill over to his mother, said, Mama, that's my bill. Service is rendered. His mother looked at the bill, opened her purse and gave him $1.25. Then she wrote out her bill. For looking after Jim, feeding him and clothing him for 11 years. A long list of things. Total, nothing. She pushed her bill to Jim, and Jim had the common decency to push back the $1.25 to his mother. So you look to Christ. Good. Keep on looking to Him. Keep on looking to Him. Just as you look to your parents for your support, look to the Lord Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee. Second, how do you commence a Christian life? I receive Christ. Good. That's how I commence a Christian life too. I received Him. How are you going to continue the Christian life? Keep on receiving Christ. Keep receiving from Him. As David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What comes next? I will take. Because the Lord has given me so much, I'll take some more. I'll take some more. I'll take some more. I'll take some more. Keep on receiving. Keep on receiving. Keep on receiving His grace. Keep on receiving His strength. Keep on receiving His assurance. Keep on receiving His comfort. Keep on receiving His counsel. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How did you commence a Christian life? I came to Christ. Good. How are you going to continue the Christian life? Keep on coming. To whom coming?
coming, a continuous word. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and gracious. To whom coming? As a baby, you came to your father and your mother. Still later on, you kept coming for your various meals and your clothing and various other things. Then high school, kept coming to your parents. College. You've heard of the man, haven't you, who said, I invested $7,000 in my son's college education. And all I got in return was a quarterback.
Oh.
I knew you'd get that sooner or later. That would arrive.
Yes.
Yes. Did you hear it come? Here's a girl who sits on her father's knee, places her hand on the place where the hair used to go, but where, alas, it goes no longer. And in a dulcet tone says, oh, Daddy, what a lovely daddy you are. If only every girl had a daddy like you, how fortunate that girl would be. Now, what's Daddy's reaction to that? Only one thing, that's right. Back pocket, pull it out. Well, how much is it, daughter, this time? I think $5 will be enough, Daddy. And money speaks, but all money ever says to Daddy is, goodbye. Imagine sending youngsters to school to learn the touch system. Well, they've got the touch system down to a fine art. They can always touch their poor old dad and their mother. Ah, but I hear a man saying, Brother Gibbs, just you wait until my daughter and a man stand alongside of each other before a marriage officer. And I hear the marriage officer say, who giveth this woman a wife? With a heartfelt sigh of genuine relief, I'll say, I do! Goody, 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 take her! And you think you've got rid of her. Don't you ever believe it? Who are the best babysitters in America? Grandpa, grandma, yes. To whom coming? You'll never tire him by coming. Keep on coming, young Christian. Keep coming every morning, every night. Keep coming, 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 always coming, always coming. And you'll find him ever ready to lend his ear to your cry. How did you commence your Christian life? I heard the voice of Jesus say. I heard his words. Good. How are you going to continue the Christian life? Keep on hearing his words. My sheep hear my words, my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hear his word concerning baptism. Have you been baptized as a believer in the Lord Jesus yet? Hear his word as to the remembrance feast. This do for a remembrance of me. Do you remember the Lord Jesus and the breaking of bread? Remember his word as to love for one another. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Hear his word in concerning good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Hear the voice of Jesus. Keep on hearing his voice. Master, speak. Thy servant hear it. Let that be your response to his voice. Hear it? How did you commence a Christian life? I believed on Christ. Good, that's how I commenced Christian life too. I believed on him. Well, how are you going to continue the Christian life? Keep on believing. Paul, how do you live the Christian life? Here's Paul's answer. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I live in the flesh, I live through the faith, or believing on the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The best evidence you have that you're a Christian is you are still believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Believe and keep on believing. Sixth. How did you commence a Christian life? I confess Christ as my Lord. Good. How are you going to continue Christian life? Keep on confessing Christ as your Lord. Sanctify Christ in your heart as Lord, and be ready to give to every man an answer of the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. Keep on confessing him. As the opportunity provides itself, at school, at home, at play, maybe some of you young folks have unsaved fathers and mothers. A most difficult life to live in the home where the father and mother are unsaved. Not much encouragement there. Don't be a prig. Don't nag your father and your mother. so live for Christ. Let a meek and quiet spirit be the evidence of the reality of your profession. And let an opportunity provide. Confess Christ as the Lord of your life. Keep on confessing Him. Keep on confessing Him. Maintain a good confession, as our Lord Jesus did before Pontius Pilate. Lastly, how do you commence a Christian life? I yielded to Christ. Good. How are you going to continue the Christian life? Keep on yielding to Him. Say to Him, take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Keep on yielding your body. Keep on yielding the members of your body. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your lips. Let your heart become the throne room of the King of Kings. Place your life unreservedly at the disposal of the Lord Jesus. And as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, you'll walk in Him. And your days will be days of heaven upon earth. You'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. May this be true of every young Christian here, mourning for His name's sake.